Hey everyone, this is Tim Pichot, joined with John Snyson. And so I am from the Liberty Advisor Show. We've got John Snyson from the Economic Truth. And today what we wanted to focus on was all the IPO, that's initial public offering debacles that have been basically plaguing the market, especially coming from all the unicorns. And then also wanted to give an update on the market and the Federal Reserve. And that's one of the main reasons we've got John here, is to talk about all that stuff. And if you are watching us on the replay, and actually, hold on, I think I heard some feedback there. But anyways, if you are watching this on the replay, make sure you subscribe to the channel and ring the bell. I would also recommend checking it out on DLive as well. It's just another method to help get notified when we go live, as YouTube and Facebook are constantly jacking with us. And actually, the best way to stay in touch, you'll see the number at the bottom of the screen. If you guys text INFORMED to 71441, that's my book. It's called How It's Rigged the Economy, perfect for everything that's going on right now. I mean, basically, it's a cliff notes on how the GDP, how the economic data, how everything is all rigged. And I didn't see anything else like it. And so because I got sick of arguing with liberals about how great things were under Obama, I decided, you know what, no one else wrote anything like this, I'll go do it. And now I find that I'm using the book to then argue with Trump supporters. So go figure. So it's got dual uses, but yeah, that's what you get when it is a unicorn. A unicorn is it's one of these Silicon Valley startups that usually they don't make any money. They're actually losing a lot of money in most cases. And they have billion-dollar plus valuations. And what was going on is a lot of these venture capital VC firms, they would invest into these startups. And then what they then would try to do is have their top line revenue grow. So what that means in non-geek terms is basically they'd have more sales. And so all they really cared about is having more and more sales, get more and more market penetration, even though every new customer, they were losing more money. So what they, so there's no way to grow yourself out of a situation where it's not like, okay, well, I only have 10 customers, so now I need to get 100. But the problem is when you give 100 customers, you're literally losing more money than when you had 10 customers. But for a while, nobody cared. Nobody cared until basically, you know, what's going on recently. And what's going on recently is that Wall Street now actually does seem to care. And if we bring it to a recent article we have over here that shows the IPO market has never been this forgiving for money losing firms. And what the article goes on to say is that 83% of US listed IPOs in 2018 were companies that were not making any money. And so what used to happen, and this is, you know, a crazy thing from back in the day, what used to happen is that companies would go, they'd actually make money, they provide a service that people want, and then they would go and have an initial public offering. Now the companies aren't even making money, and they're getting these like multi-billion dollar valuations and paydays for companies that aren't making money. And it's just absolutely crazy, the stuff that's going on. Now, one of the other guys who actually thinks that things are getting crazy and is our good old friend Jim Cramer. And even Jim Cramer is saying, of course, pop-up comes up, Cramer on recent IPO stumbles. These brokers need the money so bad, it's like there's no shame. So when you've got Jim Cramer talking about no shame, I mean, I think that's when you know that things are bad. When even like Jim Cramer's got a, and for those of you who don't know, he's the mad money guy that parades around as a, you know, financial analyst. And yeah, I think that's enough about Jim Cramer. And basically what's going on with all the VC stuff is that when the venture capitalists, they go, they create, they invest into these companies, so then that way they can eventually have an initial public offering, they can unload those shares to all the sheeple, and the founders are happy because they get big paydays, the VCs are happy because they get big paydays, the brokerages are happy because they're getting you know, massive cuts right from the top, big, you know, origination fees, which eventually are going to be going away when they have security token offerings. That's a whole nother subject. I've done a bunch of videos on that you guys can check out on the WAM channel. But the other thing that would happen is you'd have the brokerages when they got in, there would usually be a little bit of a pop. So if you're able to be a broker and you have your client, you know, get in on the ground floor, then sell immediately, there's usually, most of the time, there's a good pop. If you can get in that ground floor, then the brokers are happy because their clients are making money, which they're happy. And then everybody's happy until the music runs out and basically there's nobody left standing with a chair. And one of the people, or not people, but entity that is left without a chair, and one of the biggest unicorns of all, is a company called WeWork. Actually, now I think they're actually called We, because and actually the founder sold the naming rights of We to WeWork for, I think it was $5.9 million. I've got that coming up later in one of the notes. But yeah, they charged $5.9 million, the founder charged, to use the name We as opposed to having the name WeWork. So very crazy stuff going on indeed. But some of the stuff that's going on with WeWork, I'm not sure if you guys, you know, are familiar with this company or not. I mean, basically, it's one of these companies where you, instead of, if you don't have your own office space, you can go combine with a bunch of other people. It's a cohabitating space. I mean, sometimes you can get your own, you can get your own deal. You can get, you know, like a little cubicle for people. You can get, you know, sort of like, it's basically like a Starbucks without homeless people that are there. I actually have a virtual office that I run out of. So it's not with WeWork. It's another similar company called Regis, but they're not alone. I mean, there's My Office Suites. You got a bunch of local places here in Phoenix doing the same thing. But I think the difference is the company I'm with, they're actually profitable, but it's not necessarily groundbreaking and they have this, you know, amazing secret sauce that no one can figure out. I mean, it seems like a very you know, kind of plain Jane type company that really shouldn't be gathering, you know, a $47 billion valuation. And I've had, you know, fancy office addresses. I mean, I used to have a building in, you know, across the street and from the Ferrari dealership in North Scottsdale. But, you know, most of my clients are coming from all across the country. And so I do a lot of meetings, like just like I'm talking to John right now through Zoom. I'm talking to you guys right now is actually technically through Zoom. And so with Zoom, I don't really need an office because everything I do is virtual. And so that could be something that could also, you know, plague into, you know, WeWork's potential potential troubles down the road. But just digging into some other things going on with WeWork, one of the things, and John will probably find this funny because we didn't talk about this beforehand, is that they came up with something called a community adjusted what do they call it? They called it the community adjusted EBITDA. So that's earnings before interest, taxes, and depreciation.
EBITDA, yeah.
And amortization. And what they were actually saying was, and this is great, is that, you know, we are actually going to come up with our own EBITDA, which is, actually, am I on the wrong article? Actually, here we go. Okay. Let's see, where is it? Yeah, I mean, basically what they were doing is saying, like, all the normal costs that basically involved in running a business, like, you know, marketing expenses, you've got, you know, employee staff. I mean, everything in the kitchen sink into their EBITDA number. And, you know, basically, you know, sort of a laughable thing that they were doing. And, you know, and it was just, you know, basically crazy that, you know, basically nobody really called them out on this until, you know, the very last second. And even in this article, so right now I'm looking at an article and you guys are looking at it too. It says unicorns aren't profitable. I got a stupid ad from unicorns aren't profitable and Wall Street doesn't care. And then even this article then goes on to say, because this was from a few months ago, at the very least, public market investors, you know, the sheeple, please don't be swayed by WeWork's eventual stock offering and its community adjusted EBITDA. So here they are, like, making a dig at WeWork, and this was, you know, several months in advance. So then you take a look at, you know, other things going on with WeWork. Okay, here's the article I meant to pull up last time. So their community adjusted EBITDA is it subtracted not only interest rates, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, but also basic expenses like marketing, general and administrative, and development and design costs. Now, the other thing, and I mentioned this earlier, is that the revenue more than doubled from 2016 going into 2017 from $436 million to $886 million. And the other thing that happened is their net losses also increased 117% to $933 million. So, I mean, it would be great to be in the olden days when, you know, imagine telling somebody in 1950 that you'd have all these companies that literally are losing, you know, all, in this case, almost $1 billion. I'm sure by 2018, I'm sure they probably did lose over $1 billion. But what WeWork was planning on doing is they were basically planning on having this, you know, all the largesse that was going to be coming from their IPO, and then they're going to take that money and then use that to basically, you know, give themselves a longer lifeline or more rope to basically survive. But now
they hang themselves with.
Yeah, you can also hang yourself, I guess, with rope. Or if you're, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, you can have somebody else hang you and have all the cameras go out and have, you know, all the guards asleep of the most, you know, high profile prisoner in America. But I digress, you know. Thanks, John, to get me in. I'm like a squirrel, you know, looking at nuts over here when I'm going over different different things going on. So, yeah. So with WeWork, there's I mean, the things that, I mean, actually, you know, let's get into some other things that were going on. So some of the other things that were going on is right ahead of the IPO, and we'll get this up on the screen right now, is that their founder, Adam Neumann, he cashed out $700 million beforehand. Now, a lot of times what people like, what investors, the sheeple like, is they like to see that the CEO is invested into the company because that way they have skin in the game. And so when you take out nearly $1 billion ahead of time, it gives people, you know, maybe a little bit of pause for concern. The other thing that he was doing that was pretty shady is that they were actually taking buildings that, so some of the WeWork properties and commercial real estate that they own are actually owned by the CEO, and then WeWork leases it from the CEO. And the other thing they did is they, yeah, I mentioned this earlier, is that they charge 5.9, now let me, it's a different article here. Yeah, the WeWork said it paid the founders $5.9 million for We this year based on a valuation determined by a third-party appraisal. And so, the other thing they did, they spent $40 million on a roadshow. This is basically them going around to all the big investment banks, all the pension funds, having a big song and dance about how great everything is and why you need to go invest. And just, it was like the beginning of August, this company was valued at $47 million. Now, because of all the shenanigans that were going on, I think even Wall Street, who, you know, should be smarter than everybody else, says, wait a minute, guys, this IPO is actually crap, and I don't think we should actually go ahead with it, which is, you know, very rare, because they do have a lot of money tied up in all this, in all the song and dance that goes along with, you know, the roadshow and getting in, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, greedy bankers and greedy brokers, you know, wanted to see this happening. But they're not the only one. Another one was Peloton. For you guys that don't know, Peloton is a company where you buy these, $2,200 stationary bikes, and then you've got, you know, a big TV in front of it. So, you know, basically it's a $2,200 stationary bike with a big tablet, and then you can stream workouts. And I think it's like $20 a month, and you can stream those workouts. And, you know, it's just something where, you know, as somebody who, I mean, I spent 10 years, I just actually just sort of retired in this past June, but 10 years doing triathlons, and, you know, I've biked about 20,000 miles the past 10 years. So, you know, I think I do have some gravitas to be able to comment on whether or not I think that this would work. And almost nobody that I knew that was in my circle has a Peloton. Matter of fact, I don't think anyone I know has a Peloton. And maybe that is a bullish sign. But as part of their valuation, I don't see the exact number over here, but I remember reading that basically their valuation would assume that you would need about 10% of all of the fitness equipment sold in America to be basically at the hands of Peloton, which I'd actually argue is more of a...
Yeah, that sounds very unsustainable to me, to be honest. But yeah, and then also, you know, you think about people that want to work out, like, how about just go out in nature? You know, most people would prefer that instead of having a big bike at their house at home, or, you know, just be social with other people. But I guess they're trying to, like, keep on that trend that, you know, people are more and more by themselves and they don't want to hang out with anyone as they do their thing. But I guess that was kind of their, you know, a thought behind it, Tim. But again, you know, if they need to be 10% of all fitness equipment sold in the United States, then that's like extremely unsustainable.
Yeah, I mean, one would think that that it would be extremely. Actually, hold on, I thought I was going to cancel the Zoom. Definitely do not want to do that. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, yeah, and again, from experience here, there's a bunch of different software workouts, and like I mentioned, it's basically a software company. And what I would do personally, and this is, you know, what I did do, is I bought a bike for $1,500 that used to be a surgeon's bike, and, you know, that they bought for like $5,000. It was used for a few years. They went to go buy a brand new like $10,000 bike, so I was the beneficiary of their $1,500 one. And then you can buy, you know, there's a program called like Perf Pro where you can, you know, basically, you know, and nowadays there's stuff that's way better than what I have. So I have I bought a similar type trainer, I guess, to like Peloton, but you put your own bike on it and I can ride any course in the world. I can adjust, I can put pre-programmed workouts in it, and it does make you get very, very fast. If you want to get very fast, you train by power. You also, what you do is you can set it so that way, let's say, you know, the flywheel won't even move unless you're going, you know, X amount of watts, and it keeps you honest. But there's ways to do that that are so much cheaper. And then guess what? I can take my bike off of the off the trainer, and then I can go ride it outside, and then I can go put it back on. And yeah. I would much rather do that. And that's what I have done. You can Strava is another app. It's sort of like a Facebook for triathletes and runners and cyclists. And you can buy workouts on there. There's Spinnerables. You can go turn on the TV. Like I mentioned, you can buy even like a top line trainer. They're connected through Bluetooth, so you can program these workouts. That from your phone that then goes right to your trainer. Tons of different stuff. And this is me talking from my own experience. I hope I didn't, bore you guys with that. So that's why, I just wanted to, give a little bit of my own experience with this. And I wouldn't, I would not be bullish on that company at all. And then you've got other companies such as, Blue Apron. This article came out a year ago, but, they were a 90% drop, making it the third worst U.S. IPO this decade. I think I'd already mentioned. Yeah, Peloton just came out.
Yeah, and then you got Beyond Meat is another one that's kind of slowly failing now, it seems like.
Yeah, Beyond Meat, you had Uber, Lyft. I mean, and it just goes to show you that it's just very unethical that they basically put these valuations at, extreme, sky high, ridiculous, stupid valuations. And that way everybody gets paid except for, basically whoever the bag holders are that are dumb enough to go and buy this on the IPO, which usually, buying at the ground floor is usually a good idea. But, when you have companies that are not only are they not making a lot of money, they're actually losing money. And so great, we want to get more 10% of the market share. And so that way we lose a bunch of money. And I don't know, maybe their play is you get a whole bunch people to have these machines in their house, and then they're all paying you $20 a month, and then you can only hire a couple trainers doing different things, and maybe it will be successful. But I already just mentioned, all the different reasons and things that you can do. Personally, I'd rather just take my bike outside, and I started my first Ironman training in the snowiest city in America. So I did do so that I do get that there is a need to be outside or be inside, and now I'm in like the hottest place in America. So it's a different reason I go inside sometimes. But yeah, I mean, that was, all this stuff, the only reason that all this stuff has been able to go on is because of the low interest rates, the Federal Reserve manipulating things. And so, yeah, a lot of these, big VC companies like, SoftBank's Vision Fund, if you're able to borrow money at next to nothing and you can go take a flyer and you're like, well, hey, I'll put in, $1 billion and that $1 billion will give it a $30 billion valuation and we'll do a few tweaks and we'll IPO it in, a few months and then we'll all make billions of dollars. And we don't really care, if the company is making any money because we're all going to cash out. And, eventually the music stops. And right now the music is stopping. I mentioned earlier, it was like over 80% of the companies that have IPO'd have lost money. I personally think things are going to go the route of the security token. And so if you guys go back to on the WAM channel, there's like a Tim Pichot Liberty Advisor section, and I've got several videos on security tokens. So I'm not going to belabor that now, but I think it's
there we go.